Hey everyone, the audio experience, I'm sorry, it's the audio experience presented by Stunt Granny. Is that how we're going to do it? I guess?
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, whatever.
Part by Miller Lite.
Yes.
Miller tastes great.
And what were we talking about earlier? It's the beer I always drink to forget.
Yeah.
And then...
You can forget your problems. You can forget the brewers. Great.
That's it. Yes. Oh, and for those who don't know, that's Dusty Gimmick. I'm Jeremy Mays. And
oh, hi.
Which is the first time I think I've actually said my full name, I think, ever. So that's kind of weird. Mm. Just saying it like that. I don't know why, but it was. So we're here to talk about wrestling and whatever else we decide to start talking about. Yeah. So if you want a straight wrestling show, go listen to Kevin and Eric, because I think that's what they did this week. So just shut it off. So.
Don't also go piss off.
Yeah, exactly. That's not our fucking problem. We give you what we want.
That's right.
But let's just jump right in, because we were talking about some of this when I was at work. Yes, I like to not do stuff at work except talk wrestling and Miller Lite.
Right.
Someone that's near and dear to our own little Dusty's heart, Jim Cornette has pretty much acted exactly like Jim Cornette, and
pretty
it's making...
surprised, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that controversial thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he does for breakfast, you know?
Yeah, well, isn't this the same guy that called like a black guy a nigger or something? And then it almost started a riot back with Smoky Mountain. Was it Smoky Mountain? Yeah.
It was in Smoky Mountain, and it was like this one black guy giving them a lot of problems, so he called him a nigger. Doesn't necessarily mean he's racist. It just means he's not a PR guy.
Well, going back then, like his explanation, and I'm not apologizing for racist behavior, but I actually agree with Cornette in this. Because he said, I was pissed at the guy, we were arguing, and I wanted to just kill him. So I wanted to say the very worst thing I could to him just to make him even madder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a perfectly rational, and I know it sounds a dumb word to use, that's a perfectly rational explanation.
Right.
If I'm arguing or fighting somebody, I'm going to say some horrible shit whether or not I believe it or not.
Absolutely.
And, you know... maybe I'll feel bad about it later. Maybe I won't. So, Cornette coming out, God, was it 20 years later probably? I don't know the exact date, but coming out 20 years later, and basically on jimcornette.com, which I'm sad to say I didn't know existed until today.
Absolutely.
He basically put up
fast food reviews. It's awesome.
We covered that, right? Long time ago, that whole video of him exploding on the girl at the fast food joint?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So to build a further case, this is a man who tried climbing through the window of a Bojangles or Hardee's or something.
Right, yep.
Again, back with Smoky Mountain. So
it was like Hardee's or Wendy's or something. It was great.
Yeah. And if it was in Tennessee, I can totally understand wanting to go at the drive-thru person in Tennessee. Cause,
right. No, I can understand homicidal tendencies in the deep south. For sure.
Yeah, whenever I travel up north, I purposely try not to stop in Tennessee anywhere. Now, there may be perfectly nice places in Tennessee like Nashville, but your fast food joints off the highway are not on that list. So.
No, sir.
Okay, so anyways, I'll keep dragging this out, but...
like my dad used to be a truck driver, right? And
mm-hmm.
he said places like Tennessee and Georgia, he would just, like, try to cruise through as fast as possible. Because he knew that stopping was not, you know, an advisable thing.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever I travel to Atlanta, I'll stop within, like, a 15-mile radius of Atlanta. Outside of that, not a chance in hell.
No, no, sir. Mm-hmm.
Now, well, there was a place called Risque Cafe. I don't know. I've been to strip joints that serve food,
yeah.
But usually the waitresses have tops on, all right?
Yeah.
Well, this place was a topless, like, everybody was topless. It wasn't a strip joint, just all the waitresses to serve food topless.
I'm looking it up right now. There's one in Chicago.
Yeah, well, the one down here closed finally because I guess they were fucking people in, like, a secret room or something.
Oh, wow.
So, now it's, like, good for them. Who cares? But
yeah, that's nothing.
I mean, who am I to judge morals? Jesus. Because if I would have known about that shit when I first moved here, fuck.
Right.
No
shit, man.
No, but, yeah, so that's whatever. I don't know. I just think that's weird. Just, I mean, I love titties as much as the next guy, but if I'm eating, like, chicken wings and stuff, and she stops over and there's, like, a pair of tits in my face, and she starts going, is there anything else I can get for you?
Yes, there is.
Well, you can take care of this rod I've been sporting since I got in here, but no. But anyways, yeah. So Jim Cornette apparently emailed Terry Taylor, and from the way it sounds, and Terry Taylor works for TNA, which is important to this.
Yeah.
But from the way it sounds, Cornette on the blog says that his commentary says he was cleaning out his email and he came across an old email from Terry Taylor.
Sure.
So it wasn't like Terry Taylor had just emailed him and they were still in constant contact to each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? It was, I mean, but at the same time, who knows if they have been in constant contact. Now I think about it a little bit. It's funny when you think.
Well, from listening to his audios on Who's Slamming Who,
mm-hmm.
I kind of think the last time he talked to Terry was right before he left TNA.
Hmm. All right, so it's been a while then.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, okay, so that goes along with the storyline of this then. He emails Terry Taylor out of the blue, essentially out of the blue, basically just saying how much he hates Dixie Carter, he hates Vince Russo, and I'm trying to find the exact quote because it's great. And this is something, I mean, honestly, this is something, like, I think anyone who's just losing their mind,
yeah.
And I don't mean, like, a mental way, but I mean just, like, you're upset and you're venting.
No, like, you're into this, like, zone, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, gosh. Yeah. So I guess I could start singing a hymn if you want, so while I'm looking this up, so it's not totally dead air.
Okay. Well,
oh, no, I found it. Okay, so on his blog it says, I will say it because I'm trying to quell the burning in my heart. I hate Vince Russo. I despise Vince Russo. I want Vince Russo to die. All right, that seems, you know, that seems fairly well for someone who's just, you know, venting. If I could figure, and this is something I would actually, sounds like I would say, if I could figure out a way to murder him without going to prison, I would consider it the greatest accomplishment of my life.
That's basically exactly what you would say. I thought of you immediately.
I don't think I'd be that eloquent by saying accomplishment.
No,
you'd go
to that place, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's probably a line I've worked over in my head a million times.
Sure.
If I could kill you and not get caught, you'd be dead. That's pretty much how I'd put it. But but he gets very – there's clearly something there because he does not present the email Terry Taylor sent to him because there was obviously a correspondence there between the two. They were talking about something directly.
I'm very glad you mentioned that because – I was led to believe by the tone of it that Terry Taylor was talking some shit about Russo that started it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I mean, you know, it's almost like, I mean, obviously not having the other side. It's like the Tiger Woods text message thing.
Yeah.
We only got Tiger Woods' text messages and not, like, the horrors
yeah.
he was texting.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, we only have Cornette's side of this, so it's only going to paint him to look bad. But Terry Taylor could have been sitting there writing the same crap. Like, yeah, Jim, right on. Yeah, you know what? Vince Russo needs AIDS. I mean, just something like that.
I can't stand that motherfucker. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, just basically goading Cornette to do something, whether purposely or not. But, you know when your friends are, like ranting about something, you can just kind of needle them a little bit just to keep them going because it's funny.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that because, to me, Terry Taylor comes off really fucking spineless in this whole
thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you know he instigated it just from the tone of it, and then he immediately tattles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a correspondence that was meant to be between two friends, you know?
Yeah.
And it was venting frustration. Now, you know, of course, I'm not going to excuse everything that Cornette said, but it's like, you know, from his perspective, he's just angry and venting, and he's confiding in what he thought was a friend. So,
mm-hmm.
Terry Taylor comes off like a ballless prick for doing this.
And there's always been that rumor, I hate saying rumor because it doesn't give the weight that it deserves. There's always been the whispers of the talk about Terry Taylor just being a backstage stooge anyways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of solidifies it, and he kind of fucks himself in this.
I have zero respect for the guy. So this just kind of confirms everything I ever thought about him.
Yeah. Well, Terry Taylor's also the guy that, you know, they made him a rooster, and he didn't have the balls enough to say no. And then secondly, he didn't have the humility or the gumption to go with it.
Yeah.
They even gave him Bobby Heenan as his manager, and even Heenan couldn't get him over.
He was a featured performer in the best wrestling company in the world. You go with it. You try to make it work. You got Bobby Heenan with you, so they wanted it to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's on him.
Yeah.
That's not on WWF.
What role was he supposed to play, though? The Red Rooster was he originally slated for the Million Dollar Man thing?
No. He was originally going to be Mr. Perfect.
That's right. Thank you. I knew it was one of the two.
They were hired on the same day, him and Kurt Hennig.
Okay.
And, yeah, they were tossing around the idea, maybe he'll be Mr. Perfect, but then they decided Kurt Hennig would be better at it. So they
mm-hmm.
came up with the Rooster thing, and it was, you know, of course it was stupid.
Of course,
but
yeah.
But you work with it. You turn it into something. You make lemonade, and then they'll give you something else to do.
Yeah. And at the same time, it wasn't like there weren't a shitload of crappy gimmicks then either.
Yep.
So I find it funny that everyone, I mean, it really did kind of kill his career, but for whatever reason, it did. And
I would argue that the way he handled himself killed his career.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Because, like, Kane had shitty gimmicks.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they had to cover him up for the longest time, though, to make people forget. So, you know, they could have made Terry Taylor Aldo Montoya.
Yeah.
That was years later, but, you know, could have tried and save it, but he was too busy as part of the York Foundation. Was that it?
Yeah, Terrence Taylor.
Terrence, yes. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Just the name Terrence, and I'm sorry if you're named Terrence and listening to this, but you've got a dirt neck name. That
if your parents named you Terrence, you better be going by like Terry or some kind of nickname.
Yeah, or your middle name.
Your middle name, yeah. Go by your middle name, okay?
Yeah, just definitely not Terrence, because it just sounds like you beat women, and like you're proud of it, you know. Like, I got my woman in line sort of beating. So.
Right.
No.
You do like, oh, God, what's that movie with Samuel Jackson?
Black Snake Moan?
Yeah, where you tie the chick up and shit, yeah.
Yeah, but that was sexy, though.
I know that. Richie was hot, dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, that was right after she got her boobs reduced, too. So she was just waiting to flail those things all over the place, and I was a happy recipient of watching that movie. So.
Oh, my God, definitely.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what it's like. It's like, you know, tie your chick up and drag her in the back of your pickup truck, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so basically, it just shows Terry Taylor's a dick, because...
Yeah.
But, all right. But the way around it, though, is... I'm going to try to remember to include the link in case someone hasn't seen it and has no idea what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny part is, Jim Cornette is actually... is a boisterous. I'm trying to. I don't want to say obnoxious. You know, this is kind of an obnoxious thing to do. But I mean, it just fueled out of hatred, really.
He can be obnoxious. He's very passionate.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a love him or hate him kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love him to death. The guy's hilarious. So.
Me too.
Well, how TNA got or how Terry Taylor can get out of this is due to the legal letter that Cornette received from a Guy S. Blake, comma Esquire.
Yes. Ugh.
God.
Yeah.
It's bad enough. Your name is Guy Blake. Then you have to add the Esquire, like you're fucking on the Gilligan's Island boat. He was like he was like Thurston Howell's long lost son. You know,
right.
Good old Thurston couldn't make it for the reunion movie, so they created a son for him.
Yep.
But then basically the letter says that the email intercepted a shocking and appalling email communication.
Right.
Which was sent from your email address to the attention of TNA's talent coordinator, Terry Taylor, at his TNA email address.
Right. A.K.A. the ballless penisless man snitched on you, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Is what that reads as. And
It was intercepted when he forwarded it to Dixie Carter and Vince Russo. And when look what he said.
Can you believe it? And
yeah.
I'm sure he deleted the part where Cornette quoted his post, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he took out the entire, you know, depending on the program that was used. I really got to watch how much I say about this, actually. Depending on the program he used, he can just take out, you know, I mean, everyone's done it. If you want to claim something as your own, if you don't want someone to see something, you just delete all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like all the correspondence that happened before, and then you take out the forward or the RE colon and recapitalize the header and all that stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how that happens. And I know that's kind of like a dick thing. Like, well, no, this is the truth. Well,
right.
I think we've been fairly honest with the 5 years or 4 years we've been doing this thing. That's the truth. But when Dusty and I were planning on doing the show, I told him I wanted to talk about TNA anyways, and it was just this time into the letter. Huh?
It got me suicidal, but then this...
Yeah. Yeah, especially, well, I felt bad saying, all right, let's do a show, and I want to bring up TNA a little bit. And you're like, ugh. I was like, so is Thursday okay? And I'm like, oh, you know what? I really shouldn't have told you what I wanted to talk about. unless it was like that night.
Let's do an audio. Okay, sure. What are we going to talk about? Well, I'm not sure yet, you know. All right, well, cool. We'll do an audio.
Which?
Then you bring it on me.
Yeah. So anyways, for those who haven't listened to the audio experience when it was at the Torch, and then the early ones when we were starting Stunt Granny. Saying TNA to Dusty is pretty much like shoving a chainsaw into his face.
Yeah.
But keeping him alive. So if you don't like negative talk, this is really the time to shut it off. Because after this Monday, I'm with Dusty. I can't put myself to watching TNA anymore.
I like life too much.
Yeah, there's other things to do.
Yeah.
Well, and the reason I'm bringing it up now is Jim Cornette, and it goes back to also what you said about him having passion.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly says in here he wants TNA to succeed.
Right.
That he wants there to be competition.
It's not because he's a hypocrite or whatever. Like, all these people online, I don't get it, okay? Just time out for a second. people on the internet bitch and complain constantly. They want wrestling a certain way. Cornette is basically very close to the embodiment of what internet fans want. And yet they hate him too. I don't understand.
Well,
and still, everybody can't wait to bury the motherfucker when he does something like this, you know, which to me is just like waking up and changing your underwear. It's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
They always act like so shocked, like, I can't believe you said that, you know, like, oh, that's Jim Cornette, you know? So, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, I know you had a fondness for him anyways, and then...
Yeah, I've always loved the guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that got me into watching those OVW tapes when I couldn't afford it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was, I mean, if, all right, trying to keep everything kind of focused. If TNA did what OVW tapes did, where they taped a month of shows and said, all right, pass, I don't know how much it was, $100 and you get 6 months. I'm just guessing.
Right.
If TNA did that and said, all right, we'll give you a month's worth of TV, and all you have to pay is $10, there's no way I could actually do it.
Right.
Even if I was allowed to send the tape in, like Netflix, they send it, I send it back, I couldn't do it.
Sure.
Because the difference is Cornette knows, regardless of how you personally feel, the man knows wrestling.
Absolutely.
You know, he, and I know we've both read the columns about how he does, like, lowest common denominator stuff, like with the gangsters and, you know, shit that happened 20 years ago.
Right.
Or 10, whatever. But the man's mind for wrestling surpasses everybody in TNA's.
Absolutely.
Real
quick here. Everybody talks about, well, maybe TNA can bring in Paul Heyman or they can bring in this guy or that guy. They had the guy under contract. He could have turned things around.
Yeah. They could bring, you know, and since you mentioned his name, Paul, to Paul Heyman's credit, and I think this is the only thing that differentiates him and Cornette is, Cornette actually had some faith they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the passion you were talking about, that he's, you know, you can convince yourself of anything, no matter how wrong it is, or how much you know it's not going to work.
Right.
And Cornette doesn't have that switch to turn it off and go, no, there's no chance it's going to work.
Right.
Where Heyman from the set is like, fuck no.
Yeah.
There's no chance I'm doing this. So we won't see these meltdowns from him, unfortunately.
Right. That's like the only difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah, and they're almost exactly the same person.
Yeah, and they both have their own. They both have their flaws as well. I mean,
oh,
that's not. Yeah, I mean, that's not. I don't know. Not glorify everything they do because they do fuck up stuff. But
right.
It's just funny that I don't know. We're kind of going all over. I'm just fighting the urge to go all over the place. But oh well. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. There was a clear difference when Cornette was there and since he's and since he's been gone.
Yeah. Yep.
So, reading his reading his commentary, it's just like you've got to be kidding. Oh, you know what? And I take it back. I just read the top of his commentary. It was an email he sent to Terry Taylor on March 19th. So I'm sorry I missed that part earlier. I don't know. It's just the words are getting in the way of me trying to think. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the funnel effect. And there's just so much shit that has to come out. And I'm just having a hard time making a clear thought right now.
Okay.
Especially when you say things that are actually intelligent. Like, I'm sorry, that came out totally wrong. But when you say something as intelligent as they already have the guy.
Yeah.
And they let him go in favor of Hulk Hogan, in favor of names. which clearly hasn't worked out at all.
Here's the secret, by the way. Don't tell anyone. I could have told you that it wouldn't have worked.
Where I was going with the difference in shows. Okay. First, and you've said it, I've said it, we've all read it. Nothing in TNA matters at all.
Right. Yep.
So Cornette goes to ROH, and, you know, it's Ring of Honor. It's on HD Net. I kind of gave up on the show because there were just, frankly, there were guys that I wasn't interested in seeing. I don't care about Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, I can't stand Jerry Lynn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what's it, the Dark City Fight Club? I don't give a shit about them.
Right.
Just all that sort of thing. So I gave up, and Hogwood's just atrocious. I couldn't take him.
He's a joke.
Yeah, so, I mean, my shift at work's finally changed, so I can watch Ring of Honor and TNA and Raw all the same night if I so choose.
Sure.
Kevin Steen and El Generico broke up months ago, and they're getting around to it on TV finally.
Right.
Here's the difference. In TNA, a tag team breaks up. Friends fight each other.
Yeah.
The beautiful people. They fight like mad, fight like mad. They go right back to Black Machismo doing his tired old act. And then suddenly Abyss walks in, shits a Hall of Fame ring. Then a Leprechaun runs in. I was going to use Hornswoggle, but it's a different company.
Right,
57
right.
things happen in 30 seconds. So you're like, well, what?
Right.
ROH, and I noticed, and I'm going to say this is a direct result of Cornette being there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a TV title tournament. Kevin Steen versus Eddie Edwards.
Yes.
Steen is dominating the entire match. In regards to what you think about Steen, he's not marketable, but anyway.
Yeah, there's a reason he's been in ROH for a long time.
Yeah. It's too bad. He's got talent, but, anyways. Generico comes out and costs Steen the match, just real abbreviated version.
Mm-hmm.
They kept a tight shot of Kevin Steen's face for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And the crowd starts chanting, ole, ole, all that.
Yeah.
You got right there that this is some serious business.
Yes, exactly.
And I was just dumbfounded because I turned over to TNA. I don't even know what's going on.
No.
I mean, they got this nice, shiny little arena and all this crap, and it didn't matter.
You like, seriously, you need a pad and a pencil. Like, okay, this guy hates this guy. Well, they hate each other. Oh, they're teaming right now. You got to write it down. You can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even then, yeah, I'm glad you said pencil. Because the next week, you're like, oh, shit, you got to erase stuff.
Well, I was making a reference to picture page.
Yeah.
Got to get your pad and your pencil.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I totally didn't get that one. As soon as you said picture pages, it all came rushing back. And I was like, you've got to be kidding. But
it didn't deserve to be caught. Go ahead.
Hey, we all know. Yeah, but I knew the reference. So it was a perfectly good one. But no, and it just shows you ROH is a shit promotion.
Yeah.
There's good wrestling. And there's decent characterization. Their announcing's awful. The arenas they go to with these little kids that don't know who they are. And the older... Huh?
It's awful. And the production is awful. It's terrible.
The production's gotten better.
Yeah.
But it's still not... I mean, it's okay. It's
just alright for me, dog. You
know? But then... And then you just turn on TNA, and it's shit. It's just shit. It's a fucking terrible show. And the thing is, I think you're the one that mentioned it. Was it you or Kevin? I think we were having the same conversation. So if you go to like Dixie Carter's Facebook page, I added her as a friend because I wanted to see her in a bikini. The fucking trolls that are on that thing.
Yes.
like, TNA is the best, WWE sucks. How can anyone in their own fucking mind say that? That's like, that's like watching Citizen Kane and then watching Malibu's Most Wanted and going, oh my God, Citizen Kane sucks.
Right.
It's like, you're a fucking idiot. I mean, and that's a poor choice of words because I'm stumbling now. You are one, like, tenth of a pinky finger out of the primordial ooze. That's what you are. Evolution didn't do us a favor and cut off your family genes or your family ties, tree, bush, whatever. That show is shit.
Some things are black and white. Some things are 1 + 1 = 2. Citizen Kane is a great fucking movie. TNA is a terrible, terrible wrestling company, a shameful disaster. It's somebody's fucking science experiment to see how long they can make mistakes and stay in business.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And the whole thing with, well, their talent roster, the fuck the talent roster. It doesn't, you could have the biggest, you could have, all right, I'm just going to say it like this. You could have the WWE Hall of Fame classes, like everyone who they've inducted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could have everyone of them in their prime, injury-free, at their money-making most potential.
Right.
You put them in TNA right now, they're shit. They would never go anywhere. Never. I don't know why I'm so angry about this. I had actually, if we would have done our show Tuesday, holy shit, you wouldn't have gotten a word in edgewise. As much as you're not talking now because of me, it would have been even worse.
I love how you read me like this. You just totally sink my battleship every time.
No, trust me. I know I'm talking over you, and I don't mean to, but Jesus Christ, man. I have, all right. Dusty gave up on TNA a long time ago. He may read the reviews, or we'll tell him what happened, and we usually get an ugh or a sigh, and that's it.
Well, you recorded my famous breakdown. Remember, we had this whole audio planned, and you just scrapped the whole thing so I could have my mental breakdown over TNA?
Oh, my God, that's right. That was one of my favorite ones.
And that was like the beginning of the end for me. And
what was that, 3 years ago? 2 years ago?
Like 2 or 3 years ago, yeah.
I guess it's because I'm a sucker. And as cynical as I can be, I truly, truly hoped it would turn around. But when I saw the Nasty Boys, I saw Val Venus, Orlando Jordan, in his fucking whatever that is character he's got going.
I don't know what the hell that is.
I actually just drooled on the floor. That's how irritated I am right now.
No. Oh, my God. That's great.
I was like, what's that on the floor? And then I looked, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm gross. But we were all Samoa Joe fans at one time.
Definitely. Well, remember when Pat McNeil had us do that draft?
Yeah.
Joe, like, first or second, because it was like, well, you know, he's great and he's different, you know?
Mm-hmm. And where the fuck is he now?
Yeah.
He got abducted by 3 fat guys. They haven't even mentioned his fucking name.
Gee, I wonder where Joe is. Nothing.
Yeah. Or just say, hey, he got kidnapped.
Right.
But these idiots aren't even smart enough to say, oh, you know, we do have this one guy that was actually, you know, a top guy for a while. Right. No? Who? You know, I don't remember his name either. Anyone? No? Okay. Let's just go on to something else.
Let's move on. Right. Oh.
I mean, and for Joe's sake, and I honestly mean this, I hope he's getting paid out the ass to sit at home and do nothing.
Yep.
And I would love to give them somewhat, just a little sliver of credit, if maybe they're pulling like a Sandman sort of thing. Remember when he had the whole eye thing? And
oh, yeah, where he wouldn't even answer the door.
Right. Yeah, he wouldn't leave it. He didn't leave his house, supposedly, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't make a lick of difference if you don't mention that the guy's missing.
Right.
This is a company that took Jeff Hardy, you know, the guy that was main event in pay-per-views that got about, you know, 200,000 to 300,000 buys a month.
not to get all Pro Wrestling Illustrated, but he was the baby face of the year last year, you know?
He got chicks to watch, he got little kids to watch, and even the guys came around on him.
Yeah.
Which is a gross thing way of putting it, but...
He dragged me kicking and screaming, you know?
Yeah. And yes, he's got his personal issues, whatever else, but you don't book him badly because of that. You don't sign him because of that.
Right.
You don't take arguably one of the biggest stars in wrestling, and I'm not going to say in entertainment, because outside of wrestling, Jeff Hardy doesn't matter.
Right. But to a bunch of hillbilly wrestling fans, he means a lot.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Oh, God damn it.
So what you get on TNA is a whole bunch of shit happening at a million miles an hour, and none of it means anything. You can't remember it 15 minutes later because they've already inundated you with 12 other things, and none of it means anything, and titles switch hands every day, and the end of the world. It's terrible.
Well, I think they're trying to calm down. Calm down. Title switching doesn't really mean anything anymore.
No, that was totally killed about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the only lengthy title belts are really the tag team belts. I'm talking WWE because they seem to have, since they've been putting these superstar teams together, they've seemingly kept them. So when they do lose the belts, they mean a little bit.
Right.
I would love to say the Intercontinental Championship, but when it's on Drew McIntyre, who can really care?
I can't.
Yeah.
Forget that McIntyre even exists until he's, like, on my TV screen. Oh, yeah.
You're exactly right. And the only other reason I remembered him was because Matt Hardy interferes in his match on SmackDown. And the reason I remember that is because Matt Hardy is a creepy bastard. That's why. So.
He's a big fat greaseball, man.
Ugh. Did you see that hot tub video that he made?
No.
Oh my God, you serious? Oh my God, you missed that? It was right before WrestleMania. He was talking about how, like, 2010 was the year of Matt Hardy.
Okay.
Oh my God. Okay. When we're done. It's long. It's like 7 minutes. So you have to watch it. And then go take the longest shower you've ever taken because he's just scary creepy.
Okay. All right.
All right. Anyways, so the title thing, I don't even care. I mean, they were bitching because TNA, to prove the point how title belts don't matter, they gave away the women's championship by a fucking lockbox. You opened up a fireproof safe, and you've got a belt out of it.
Right.
Why don't you put a quarter in a machine and see what rolls down? That'd be even better.
I used to collect those football helmets.
Yeah, mine were baseball helmets. I never got the football ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Those were cool, though.
I got a shitload of the football helmets. So.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm an idiot.
Well, speaking of idiots, I look outside and my dog is walking around the backyard with a bone in her mouth. I didn't give her a bone. I swear there's a dead body in my yard somewhere.
You might be missing a neighbor or something, dude.
Yeah, she's been bringing in little pieces of bone here and there. And Elise is like, where's she getting that stuff? I'm like, I don't know. So,
you might
if someone's missing...
Three houses, dude. I'm just saying.
Here she comes bringing it to me. She drops it because she knows I'm...
Good girl. Way to kill
Well, this one has
people.
A shoe attached to it. Is that bad?
No, that's fine. They sell them in the stores like that now. Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand. That's a great way to train your dog. If it's got a shoe, eat it. Christ. Okay, so we've got
enough. Audios with you, Jeremy. Wow.
It's something, I don't know. See, I was expecting you to take over with the Jim Cornette thing. But the more we started talking about it, I kept mentioning the letters TNA.
You're obviously very upset, and that's the time where I just need to step to the side here because this makes for entertaining audio.
Which doesn't normally happen, but... Mm-hmm. But, I mean...
I'm upset.
Kevin...
Okay.
Go ahead. No,
okay,
they
well,
just...
I mean, they called it terroristic activity. And that was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
No, not really.
Well, according to what the lawyer speak says, but of course the lawyer also doesn't understand that the terroristic activity TNA partakes every fucking week by recording
right.
a 2-hour show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then calling it wrestling, then you turn it on and you go, what is this horseshit? I would rather watch two men fuck each other than watch this show.
Right.
Ugh.
Me and Noah slept over at our friend Mark's house. And, like, he, like, had a bunch of dirty, you know, videos and stuff. He's like, hey, guys, check this out. And, like, the first one he shows us, and it's, like, a close-up on the guy's dong, you know. And it's like, me and Noah are like, what? What's going on here, you know? What are you watching here, Mark, you know? And, like, eventually a chick shows up and everything, but it's like, okay, what happened?
Yeah.
And that's... And that's what it's like every week. I'd rather watch Mark's videos.
Well, have you ever heard of the website meatspin.com?
No.
Are you around your computer?
I sure am.
All right, go ahead and pull that up.
M-E-A-T, spin?
Yeah, spin. No hyphen, just straight across.
.com.
Yep.
Okay. If you are under the age of okay.
Mm-hmm.
The account number of spins you sat through.
I would watch that for 2 hours over having to subject myself to another episode of TNA.
I'm officially gay now because I forgot to shut it off.
How many spins did you get through?
It was up to 54.
I got to 32, and I was like, you know what? I don't know why I'm doing this. It's not like I'm watching this anyway. It's like that you get a man badge for watching the thing.
Right.
But no, I would rather watch that bullshit.
Right.
And it's just the excuses. Time after time, and then you've got Dixie Carter constantly, like someone called her out on it and was like, you know, how are you supposed to build a brand on Monday if you're still offering replays or something like that? And she goes, well, we're trying to build a brand on both nights. Hey, stupid, you can't do that.
No, it's not possible.
You confuse your audience.
Yeah.
I mean, even when Heroes first started, if you're on a different network, at least, it would be on NBC on Mondays, and then later on like Friday, they would play it at 10 o'clock at night on G4 or Sci-Fi or something.
Right.
So it was a totally different network, at least. You can't put your show on the same fucking show on the same network.
Right.
It's on a different day. It's a retarded business, model.
What incentive is there for me to watch that show on Monday night? There's no answer for that.
No, there is no incentive. If
right, like let's assume I like TNA, okay?
That's gonna take a second.
Watch it on Monday.
Mm-mm.
I can watch it on Thursday.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, I mean. I wouldn't mind WWE moving SmackDown to Thursdays.
I'd love
just to crush Impact on Thursday as well.
I'd love it, because it would be like no skin off their back whatsoever.
Right.
You know?
But see, but all this talk...
And TNA would just be destroyed. Mm-hmm.
But see, even like talk like that, though, is... People will say, and I understand why it's said this way, that, you know, there's no competition left then. There's no competition now.
No, there's zero.
For the wrestlers themselves, there may be, because Dixie's willing to throw out shitloads of money.
Yep.
But beyond that, as an actual... I mean, Vince McMahon, seriously, he should just be buying all the TNA tickets so there's empty arenas and just burning the tickets outside, I mean, back in Stanford.
That would be amazing. Wow. I love that idea. Wow.
Because TNA refuses to leave the Impact Zone. Oh, I'm sorry, they're going to... They're having lockdown in St. Louis again.
Yeah.
But who gives a shit? You're giving away a whole pay-per-view full of cage matches.
Right.
And that's not even the issue here. But, well, I mean, I guess it sort of is.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard this comparison before. But TNA is almost like a fast-moving comedy show, where like a Jackie the Joke Man thing, where he says,
yes,
a million jokes in an hour.
Awesome
in,
reference.
Okay. In his act, he even said, "I'm going to tell you thousands of jokes. You're not going to remember but one of them,
right.
But you're going to have a good time."
Right.
Here's the difference. I don't have a good time when I'm watching TNA.
TNA is Jackie the Joke Man without the good time. Mm-hmm.
Without the jokes too.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of jokes.
Yeah. It's called their main event roster. The fact that AJ Styles, I don't mind him being champion. I actually don't mind him being champion at all because he does have talent. He can wrestle. Now, when it comes to selling stuff, like himself or anything else, and no. But he's playing dress-up with just that ridiculous outfit he has. They bring in Nigel McGuinness,
yep.
Give him a chick, so he's supposed to be the Tully Blanchard type,
mm-hmm.
And then he loses every second. And I actually don't mind Nigel McGuinness. You know, he is what he is. He's not horrible, though.
Yeah.
And then they put Beer Money together. Okay, that's kind of stretching, trying to make another Horseman.
Right.
But then you've got that doddering old fool, Ric Flair. So it just, for any good they do in on paper, this is all paper, by the way,
mm-hmm.
The good they do on paper is destroyed by the actual thing that they create from it.
Exactly. Totally agree. Yep. Ric Flair is a terrible person, by the way.
What's that?
I just thought I'd throw that in there. Ric Flair is horrible.
Well, he's good with... No, he's not good with money. I'm exhausted from having to watch the show. I can't do it anymore. I've done it years longer than you have, 2 years.
Yeah.
And I know... And Kevin even said if we weren't doing this website, he'd never watch TNA.
Right.
That's how low it ranks.
Yeah. I used to love pro wrestling. I don't know what the hell happened.
Well, you know what? I was genuinely excited for WrestleMania this year.
Yep.
And watching ROH, you know, I was kind of like, you know what? If this is the kind of product they're going to put out where shit matters. And it was actually a solid match before. And that's the other thing. Going back to the getting going all over the place thing.
Mm-hmm.
That ending came after 10 minutes of action.
Yeah.
It didn't come after 30 seconds, which is just another thing. And
right.
I'm just, there's no hope currently for TNA.
Yep.
So I guess before we end this, I'm going to try and do something positive. It's overdone, and it's a worthless conversation to have, so I'm just going to put it to you like that.
Okay.
What can they do to, and it can be anything. I mean, within reason. I mean, obviously, you can't say, well, we're going to go get Batista and John Cena and, you know, that. What can they do with what they have and what's available to make them better? I'm trying to put something positive out.
I'm glad you mentioned, like, get Batista and stuff. Like, one of the reasons WCW was so successful is because there was constant rotating of talent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that made things interesting. One of the unfortunate byproducts of the end of the Monday Night Wars was that WWF learned their lesson and started signing guys to, like, 5-year deals and stuff so they could never lose them. And that's just hard, you know, because then you're stuck with, like, the leftovers. So right off the bat, it's hard to compete. So if you're working within the construct of what you have now, it would take a few years. You have to go fiscally conservative. Making money should be priority number one. So you cut the guys who are making money but don't deserve it. So guys like Hogan and stuff are going to be gone right off the bat.
Uh-huh.
Anybody who's making over a certain amount of money should be fired. That would be my first suggestion.
Okay.
And just start... What's that?
No. I was agreeing. I was like, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't hear what you said. I thought you said, huh.
Because I'm mumbling. I'm like a doddering fool right now. So.
All right. Okay, cool. That's the Howard Stern I know and love. Anyway. So anybody over a certain amount of money gets cut, and then you just start rebuilding. You got to rebuild your fans' trust in the company. So, so you focus on young guys who have talent and are different in some way, because you should try to be a little bit different than WWE. I don't know. I don't really want to give specific guys. I have my favorites, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys like Christopher Daniels that I can't stand, and I'd bury him. But
he's gone anyways, so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's right. He's back in ROH.
Yeah.
Other than that, make angles last longer and make them sink in. Like when the Connells hired George Huntley to be their second guitarist and second singer, and only after they did that did they get their only hit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff just has to sink in, you know? So stop going a million miles an hour. Start slowing things down, and because slow isn't necessarily boring, okay? You gotta like take the fan's hand and say, okay, we're doing this now. We're going over here, you know? And the fans will get it. And I think they'll appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
Wrestling fans aren't the smartest people in the world. So they need that little, like, hand-holding thing at first, you know? Like, okay, I get
yeah.
it. You want me to cheer Orton now? Okay. So, stuff like that, you know? So
right.
Go slow, push the young guys, work cheap, try to be profitable, and then for 3 years down the road.
Yeah.
And pray God that Spike TV will stick with
you. Yeah.
While you're rebuilding, you know, because that's like the ultimate shortcut, hiring guys like Hogan. Look, we got Hulk Hogan. You know,
yeah.
Everybody who doesn't know anything about wrestling goes, oh, cool, you must be serious. You know, when it's actually the exact opposite. So
what,
they have to retrain everybody at every
yeah.
level.
And I don't want to, I hate interrupting you, but you actually, you, when you brought up, you know, bringing in Hogan.
Yeah.
Everybody I've talked to who used to follow wrestling, and people who don't follow wrestling but know Hulk Hogan, Elise and her son Bishop, they saw, like, Bishop even said, he's like, what's he doing here? And I was like, oh, he signed with them. He's helping. He's like, he must be hard up for money. This is a 15-year-old kid saying that. And then, you know, Elise was like, is this a geriatric league? And then, like, the guys at work who no longer watch wrestling are like, is this WCW? They were seriously asking if they brought WCW back.
Sure.
So it's exactly what you're saying. The long-term benefit is nil.
Right.
Because they're not tuning in to watch. They're tuning in to mock and then going, oh, I can watch anything else in the world but this show and turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Who does this appeal to? You know?
That, yeah.
The people who used to like wrestling are just going to be reminded of, oh, okay, it was so much better back then.
Mm-hmm.
The people who like wrestling now are like, well, I want to see something new and different and fresh.
Yep. And TNA was doing something somewhat fresh years ago.
Yep.
And they just sacrificed everything to bring in big names to get on Spike and to get those in the international deals.
Right.
And they just got intoxicated by it. I mean,
right.
See, what I was asking you, and you didn't go down that road, so I'll go down it, was you said that you wanted them to be profitable. And I guess my question is, what if they aren't profitable because of trying to be different, trying to do something new, like moving Impact to a different arena every week? And by what I mean by every week is they tape just like, well, not like Raw used to do, but they go to an arena. They set up, they tape Monday and Tuesday in that different arena or different place.
Sure.
Now, Dixie Carter's thing is, you know, we have to be profitable or more profitable to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it worth losing the money or taking the risk of losing that money to garner ticket sales, first off?
Sure.
Maybe generate some revenue by selling merchandise at the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly, you know, getting out of the stagnant environment, the low rent looking environment of the Impact Zone, to where every week you turn it on and you're like, oh, well, this looks different. I mean, obviously they have to bring the same setup.
Sure.
But at least, you know, the stands slide up differently. It's this week's lit differently. Does that, as a business plan, doesn't that make more sense than, you know, trying to save your money by staying in the same place? Or am I just a horrible business person waiting to go out of business in a month because of, you know, equipment rental and truck and payroll and all that?
Look, you know one thing that would save money? Not being live every week.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean your show has to look like crap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do everything you said, but do it on tape instead of having it live every week.
But don't you think that a live feed actually does give off a different energy than knowing when something's taped?
Yes.
I'm just asking.
Yes and no.
Okay.
I can see both sides of that argument. I'm going to be John Kerry on this one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I said it. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like when I watched Raw Monday night and I knew it was taped already, I was kind of like, oh.
Well, sure.
But maybe that's like us, we know it's tape, where maybe the general audience doesn't. But then again, they go after the internet audience.
Right.
In some angles, and in other angles, they don't. I mean, I'm trying to keep it even.
That should be on the top 10 list. Don't go after the internet crowd.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, fuck the internet crowd. I mean, they shouldn't even listen to anything we say.
Right.
Well, they should, but, you know, whatever.
They should.
We're arrogant.
They should.
So. Yeah. Ugh.
When some idiot calls into Wade's hotline or whatever, don't listen to that guy. God.
Yeah. Yeah, don't. Yeah, and Dixie Carter, like, she likes listening to people's tweets because she likes getting feedback. You're a fucking dope.
Yeah.
Or my Facebook, and we're going to have an open forum on Facebook, and I'll answer your questions. Hey, I sure like the Kurt Angle. What are you going to do for him when he retires? Oh, shut up, fucker. No one cares. Next. Does anyone have any legitimate questions that I can avoid because I don't know what I'm talking about?
Somebody tweets about how they like Shannon Moore, so she brings him back.
That motherfucker needs to die. Anybody that cheers for Shannon Moore, AIDS immediately. And I mean the full cycle of AIDS. You get it and you die.
I want anybody who likes Shannon Moore, including Shannon Moore, should be run over by a semi whose tires have been replaced by chainsaws.
You know how badass that would look?
Anyway. I mean,
just imagine a vehicle with chainsaw tires. That'd be awesome.
It's chainsaw tires, yes.
I never thought of that. You're a genius.
I just came up with that on the fly, you know?
Yeah. All right, and here's the problem with Shannon Moore. Besides being a piece of shit, like you've said oodles of times, the guy dresses like a 1980s, you know, early 80s punk guy. Then he goes, "Welcome to glam rock." Motherfucker, that's two different styles of music. You're a fucking idiot.
It's an insult to anybody who likes glam rock. Lumped in like that. And I don't like either, by the way. I'm just saying, you know?
No, glam rock's fine. And glam rock had its roots in punk. That's what it, you know, New York Dolls. I mean, hell, even Motley Crue. I mean, took a lot from, you know, a little punk scene and built on it.
Yeah.
But you never said it. You never mixed the two. It's just,
right.
I think Eric calls him the poser faggot all the time. And I don't care how people feel about using the word faggot. That's what he is.
The guy is a fucking fag.
I couldn't do it. I was trying to stay positive, trying to have a rational conversation. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Shannon Moore, I think, is my second least favorite wrestler of all time. I just have complete contempt in the cackles of my heart for him.
Because there's nothing entertaining about him.
No.
I mean, like, Ming wasn't the greatest wrestler.
Right.
But he had a badass afro.
Yeah. Like, every time I saw Ming, I was like, all right, cool, the afro, and then he'd kill some motherfucker with some stiff shit. And I'd be like, all right, man, right on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't particularly good, but it was still fun to watch. I mean,
exactly. There was some level of entertainment to him.
Yeah.
Kind of all provides me nothing but frowny face, you know?
Yeah. The frowny face with the frown going down to your shoes. Or feet if you're not wearing shoes.
Right, I have to tuck my frown into my socks, basically.
Oh, man, just... And Kevin is probably the most patient person I've ever met.
Kevin,
he,
too, man. I don't know how he does it.
He hides it very well, too. He gets annoyed, but he hides it more. Like, if I'm annoyed with something, you know it. And,
that's not necessarily a good thing, though. He's going to kill somebody someday.
Yeah, well, as long as it's not me. Well, that's fine.
Right.
No, no, he doesn't bottle it.
Yeah,
he just hides it so that... He just, like, marks it down in his little mental notebook. Yep, I'm not dealing with you anymore. But even today, and this is, we're just going to start wrapping the show up with this.
Okay.
Kevin doesn't tape all of Impact on Mondays. He tapes the first hour, and then he tapes CSI Miami for the comedy part of it, he says.
Yeah.
I never watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm leaving today, I told him, like, yeah, Dustin and I are doing the show. We're going to do this and this. Going to talk to TNA, and he comes back and goes, yeah, I'm going to torture myself and record that last hour because he misses the last hour. So he's taking advantage of the Thursday night thing.
Right.
The entire act of Kevin having to record that show is torture. Not once did he say he was going to watch it. It was
right.
Torture to even record the show.
Right.
For someone who's as patient as Kevin is,
there's still the mental gymnastics of watching it then.
Yes. To actually have, like, the little blood curdling, like, oh, God, I've got to hit the power button on my TV, hit the guide button to find TNA, and then actually have to have the druthers to push the record button.
Right.
If it's painful for your audience to record it, or, you know, who's supposed to be your audience, I'm sorry, who's supposedly your audience, if it hurts to record the show because you know what's coming, you know it's going to be painful to watch,
right.
You're doing something wrong.
Yep.
Regardless, if Jim and Tim watch the show, get on your Facebook account and say, you know, AJ Styles is a tool. I sure hope the Pope takes him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that may be the audience you're going for, but it's not the audience that's, I don't want to say right, because that's very arrogant to say it like that.
Right.
But it's an audience that doesn't know any better. It doesn't know what a good wrestling show looks like.
They'll be there if you're offering them good wrestling or bad wrestling.
Yeah. They're liking the show because they read the other comments and they go, you know what? Yeah, WWE does suck. But yet, they still watch. Everybody who says WWE sucks, they're watching.
Watches it.
But not everybody who watches WWE even knows TNA exists.
Yep.
And I think that's how we should end the show. So.
Yes.
All right. Well, this was a very down edition of the audio experience, but whatever.
Audio to slash your wrist to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to take off. Dustin and I will be back again, hopefully with a little more positive show. So until then, everyone, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Well, for Jeremy Mays, for Jim Cornette, and for Wendy's drive-through windows, I'll have a cheeseburger, onion rings, and a large orange drink. This is Dusty Gevings. This has been the audio experience. We'll try to do better next time.